Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Before we start today, I want to just make sure we didn't miss the point there. The best things are not the things money buys. I was sharing with the brother as we begin or started, we're fixing to start earlier. The greatest treasure for me is to see my children and my grandchildren in the house of God. I wouldn't swap you. You couldn't pay me enough. That's treasure. Now the world can't see that. They recognize zero value in what we see here. But the treasures I speak of are unseen because they're eternal. You can give your kids a lot of stuff, but mostly it spoils them. And if you're not careful, it'll ruin them because the one thing they begin to depend on is stuff. And if you depend on stuff instead of Jesus, you'll go to hell. You'll miss it because you think what you need is something that can be gained in this world, and it's not. What you need today is something that is eternal, that never stops giving. I encourage you today to obey the Spirit of God. If you're here and you're lost, the best thing you can do is say, God, help me, save me. Repent. Let him have you right now. Be born again. Turn with us this morning to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. We'll take our text. I'm going to use several verses from the text this morning, so stay close to your Bible or you'll be out of place. Romans chapter number 6. We'll begin at verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now that means dead, brothers. My old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. I'm going to skip down now to verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And so we ask the question, again, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bow with us. Father, we pray for the anointing of your word today, your voice. You'd speak clearly to our hearts and every heart. May not one soul be excluded from your power and from your speaking. May you touch them and may they be revealed, God, in their own hearts and minds and conscience, the truth of their condition. We're all desperate for you as we pray to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the fallacies that's promoted in religion today, or at least Christendom, I would say would be that grace is cheap, or at least it's treated so. People live as if they have a license to sin, and yet what the scripture says is if you've truly died from sin, you can't any longer live in it. So those today to whom they live in sin, or I would say habitually sin, the pattern of their life is sinful, I would say to you there's a couple of things wrong. Either one, their lives are totally incongruous to a born-again believer, meaning they're backslid in a terrible way, or number two, they're not regenerate. They've never been born again, period. That's the reason they can't live for God, is they've never been born of God. They've never died to self and therefore can't live to Christ. You can't live in the Spirit until you've been born of the Spirit. Amen. You can't follow the Spirit until the Spirit abides within you. There's not a substitute. People want to plug in religion. They want to plug in works. They want to plug in that they're as good as their neighbor. But the truth is if you've not been born again, you're still on your way to hell. It is a miserable condition when you find yourself lost, the Holy Spirit arresting your heart and revealing unto you the truth about your condition and eternity. Let me be clear. It scared me to death. There was a fear, a terror that went through my soul when I realized by the moving of the Holy Spirit that I was lost and there was no hope for me but Christ. In the same instant that grace brought fear to my heart, that same grace relieved that fear by leading me to Christ, in whom I simply cried out as a child and said, "Save me." Being born again, friend, is not a formula. It is not a one plus one plus another and come up with some equation or result that equals eternal salvation that had more to you or had more to do with you than it did with Christ. May I say to you today that being born again is all about Jesus. Amen. If you are not begotten by the Word, you will not be saved. How do I get begotten? He begets you. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings you. And to the blinded eyes, ye of no faith, he opens up that vision to where you can see clearly for even a moment in time, while he grants you also faith to believe, and you are then given an opportunity to understand your condition throughout all eternity, having been lost without God, and also to know that he is there and willing to save you if you'll but receive his gift. Amen. That's salvation. being born again, not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but being born of the Spirit of God, that is the only way that you can become a new creature in Christ. There are people today that live as if it has more to do with them than it does with God. And I want you to see from the scripture this morning what the Apostle Paul is trying to get those of the Romans to understand, and you and I as well, that though there be grace to pardon me of all of my sin, though there be grace above the riches of all of this world put together, the grace of Jesus Christ that had paid for my sin debt, that had died for me and for all of my sins, past, present, and future, a grace that covers them, a blood that remitted those sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered no more. It proves to me not that grace is cheap, not that grace is simply a license to do whatever I want to do, but no, it's the converse of that. It convinces me that grace is precious, and therefore I do what He wants me to do. I'm driven, as the scripture said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. Amen. Though I live in the flesh, let me be clear, I am not the servant of sin. Though I sin, I can assure you there is something inside of me that raises up against the sin. How many know what I'm talking about? There is a conviction that comes from sinning against God, knowing that I have failed to keep the word of God or His precept. There is a guilt that comes, but greater than guilt. There is a response in the soul of man that says, when you sin, we must repent. Now, if you don't feel that compelling of your own soul to cry out in repentance unto God when you sin, then I fear either you're unregenerate altogether, or you have so dulled your ears of hearing that you're in a dangerous place of darkness in your own heart. He asked the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer, God forbid. Never should it be said that I would live in sin to promote the grace of God, or in another way, to simply abuse the grace of God because my sins have been forgiven. I would challenge you today that if you think you can live any way that you want to live, that there is something wrong with your relationship with Christ. You're not right with God, I can know that much, and don't have to judge anybody. But if you think for a moment that you can live contrary to the mandates of the Word of God and not be affected when you do sin, then friend, you have got a misconception about what it means to die. I have died to that sin. And though in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, there is something inside of me that is absolutely holy. It is Christ Himself, the Spirit of the Godhead, lives inside of me, set up abode according to the book of John, dwells within me. He's not someone that I know about. He's not one that I call up when I'm in need. No, this friend lives inside me. He is more than just with me. He is in me. And I want you to know today, that changes everything. When you come to Christ and are born again, you die out to sin. According to the scripture, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. He established for you and I the sacrament of baptism to publicly show, to give a picture
victorial to the world, that not only have I died spiritually unto God and been raised in the newness of life, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, but in the keeping of that, in the obedience of keeping the sacrament of baptism, we die as we go into that watery grave, and we live as we're raised in the newness of life after his own resurrection. I am born again, friend, because Jesus lives in me. And some go about and they treat the mercies of God as if they're their own to spend. What a dangerous, what a foolish place to be in. I don't know about you, but any person that's truly been born again has never sinned, and there not be a guilt or conviction present. You cannot have the Holy Spirit abiding within you and it not aware that you sinned. Doesn't work that way. And so I fear that there's a great number of people that live out there who have claimed that an experience they had in the church or an emotion that they experienced one time during a service or a camp or a Bible school or something of that nature. May I be clear today that no experience simply is proof of salvation. Jesus said they will know you by the fruits that you bear. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will lay down yourself. You will take up my cross and you will follow me. If you love me, yes, the world will hate you because they hated me. If you love me, you will leave this world and you will cling to me as your master and Lord. Friend, you can say what you want to say, but the proof is in your life. Because whoever you yield your members to serve, that is who you obey. Whether it be the sin of covetousness, the sin of adultery, the sin of pornography, the sin of lying or deceit, the sin of whatever it may be, if that is who you yield your members to serve, then that's whose servant you are. You are the servant to that sin. Servant to that wickedness, propelled by the enemy of the father of lies, who works in the hearts of all of the unbeliever, the unregenerate, and will do his very best to deceive the very elect if possible. We have an enemy, there's no question about it. He's ruthless. We had an enemy out there who wants nothing more than to kill and steal and destroy in your life. And there's no intent, friend, on ever helping, loving, or bringing you out of the condition that you're in. What the devil wants is you to get worse. And many are. Many are headed down that road just as fast as they can go. And you know what? The whole time they're flying some kind of banner that has a cross on it. You can do everything that you want to do that has something to do with religiosity, but I'm assuring you right now that if Jesus is not in your soul, you're going to hell. You say, how do you know? Because I'm in the same place you are. I'm no different than you are. You say, oh, but you're the preacher. That has nothing to do with it. Preachers will go to hell. If they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. It doesn't make any difference how far that you have gone with the church and you've depended on the church or you've been attached to the church. You cannot get to Calvary except Jesus draw you. And you can't get to God except he saves you. Friend, you cannot be saved within yourself. Whoever you yield your members to serve, that's whose servant you are. What a great truth. That for once in your life, somebody will be honest with you, and it's the Word of God. It will tell you plainly where you stand. Amen. Because what you need to know is that in yourself, you cannot get to God. You're going to die without God. And it is not just an end. That's what they want it to be. The agnostics and the atheists of this world want you to believe that when you breathe your last breath, that's just it. It's all done. It's all over. It won't matter. You came from an accidentally mutated form of something and evolved into the wondrous, complicated humans that we are. And you somehow believe that that when we die, we just go back to the earth and cease to exist. It's not true. Though your body die and be laid in the dirt and go back to the dirt from whence it came, you will not cease to exist.
Right.
Job asked the question to God, as far as I can tell, if a man die, shall he live again? Job was able to answer his own question. I suppose it's rhetorical, but he answered his own question. If a man dies, is he going to live again? Job said, yet with these eyes shall I see God.
Amen.
Yes, a man's going to live again. You think somehow that your conscience, that your mind, that your being, that who you are on the inside somehow is attached eternally to this carnal flesh. No, Jesus has come to separate for you and I the difference between the inward man and the outward man. There is a warfare going on. There's no question about it. You can read the 7th chapter of Romans and find quite clearly the Apostle Paul, he suffered the same affliction you and I do. He dwells in a sinful flesh. But he would be the first to also say to you that there is a man on the inside that is not the same as the man on the outside. There is something made different in me. I am not unregenerate. I have been born again.
Amen.
What Jesus told Nicodemus as he came seeking the same answer. He said to him, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Clearly, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Every one of the eyeballs that I'm looking at this morning have been born of the flesh. That's how you got here. You were born of some mother one day of the flesh, but also born that day was something more than flesh. It's why we ought to be so vehemently opposed to abortion. That God would say to Jeremiah, before anyone knew you, I knew you. While you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Knew who? Knew the flesh? Now that's not what he's talking about. God's not concerned about your flesh. You say, how so? God can make flesh. Spit in the dirt and make a man. Pull from a rib from Adam and make a woman. Making flesh is not, that's not the issue with God. No, it's the soul. It's that eternal part of you. You're more than just flesh. You're also spirit. If I ask you to catch my breath, right? Right, I'm going to exhale, and I want you to grab out, right? Can you? No. But there's one that holds my breath, who has said that the very days, moments, seconds of my life are already numbered. There is a day to which I will come. I may be in perfect health when I reach that day. And when I come to that place where my Creator has said, this is the number of my days, I will cease in the flesh. But thanks be unto God, that is not the end of me. The difference between those that are religious and those that have been born again is that there is a change made on the inside of those who are regenerate. Those that have been born again have been made a new creature on the inside. Make a difference? Yes. Being born again of the Spirit of God will change the outer man.
Amen.
In what way? Those places you once loved, he said, you won't love them anymore. You say, but wait, I still love them. Then you're still lost. You cannot be both ways. You cannot love both masters. You've either died out to sin or you've not died at all. You've either gave up on yourself and been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, set on a course to glory. Or you sit there today in your own infatuated minds thinking, I know how I'm getting there. I can get there on my own. If I do enough of this, if I follow enough of that, if I clean up this part of my life, this will get me to Jesus. No, you'll miss heaven altogether. And that's just a nice way to saying you'll go to the torment of hell as sure as you're looking at me now. There is a place that abides where there is no friendship. There is a place that abides where there is no light. There is a place that abides that will be continuously a torment, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where people will wish they could die, but because they're eternally stuck in that death, they will die and never die. Never die. Hoping to die, wanting to die, but never able to expire. Why? Because there is something on the inside of you that has got an eternal stamp on it. You were made not like an animal, but after the image of God. We're not animals. We have a soul. We were made after the image of God. When he breathed into Adam, there was something different. What took place at that moment was different. Adam lay there lifeless, just a form. But when God breathed into Adam, the scripture said he became a living soul. And what he's come to change today is not your flesh. He's come to change your soul. If you get born again, if he saves your soul this morning, it automatically will change your life. You say, well, I'll figure out how to get it better once I get... No, if you ever get saved, it'll get you better. Because the things you once loved, you won't love anymore. The things you once hated, you'll love them. You'll be different in every way and won't be able to help it. Because he's in you. Because of the man on the inside that is going to live forever somewhere has been miraculously, divinely, purposefully changed by the only one that can do it, by Christ himself. The question is simple. Does he live inside of you? What, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. What then? What then? The next question is, he just rephrased it. He said, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Quite simply, it's not possible. It's not possible. I can no more live that lifestyle than I could have lived this lifestyle then. That's how radically different it is. I could no more live the way that I did live. And maybe some of you that waited a little longer before you got saved and your testimony has a little more color than mine did at 9 years old. I can no more go back to that. Because there is something on the inside that is different. Is my flesh perfect? No, if you watch my flesh, you'll find that it fails. How you like me now? Spot on. I'm a wreck without Jesus. I can make a hash of it just like that. But I am absolutely convinced that that which I have committed unto Him, He's able to keep it against that day. What day? There's a day coming when He's going to call me. There's a day coming when He's going to judge me. There's a day coming when I'll stand before God and I'll give an account to everything I've done, whether good or evil. I will stand before Christ and give an account. I am convinced that He is able to keep me against that day. Amen. That all that I have trusted unto Him, He is able to keep it. Because I died out to myself one day. I died to sin. I could no longer live in sin, no more than a dead man can get up and dance. It just is impossible. I can't live in sin. So we have to ask ourselves the question, don't we? There's a lot of people out there that have claimed to be saved, but they continue in sin. And if they continue in sin and are unmoved by their actions, there is no remorse inside them. They have either shut the light so far off that it will take God's hand of chastening to bring them home, or they're unregenerate to begin with. They've never been saved. They can say all they want to say, but Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm not going to change it, and you can't change it. The Apostle John, as he wrote to him in 1 John, was quite clear over and over, chapter after chapter. Said, a man that lives in darkness and says he has fellowship with the light is lying. No. Whoever you yield yourselves members to serve, that's whose servant you are. They close with this, verse number 17, but God be thanked. Anybody agree with that statement? The only thing that could save your miserable soul was God. There wasn't any merit that he looked up one day and said, man, I need to get down there and do something for Steve. He's a wonder. No, not at all. No, as a matter of fact, if he had looked at any one of us, he should have turned away. He should have left. But God be thanked that you were, past tense, you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered ye. What form of doctrine is he referring to? What I'm trying to tell you now is that form of doctrine that except a man be born again, he will perish eternally. You were the servants of sin, but you're not anymore because you believed from the heart the gospel of Jesus Christ and you were gloriously saved, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Huh? How many... You know what I'm talking about. I can hear you over here. Amen. Somebody talking about what it means to be saved. I can relate to them. That I have been born again. Worthless, wretched. But He saved me. When I bowed before Him and repented and said, save me. He saved me. And I'm His. He'll never let me go. He made me a new creature. I can't live the way I lived before because there's something new inside me. The very thing that compels me to go forward is not of the world, it is of God. Because He now lives in me. And that is the way it is with every believer, not just the preacher. Every born-again believer is a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away. All things have become new. say, well, that's a fairly exclusive gospel. You're going to run a lot of people off. I ain't in the business to run them off or bring them in. I actually don't have the power to do either. Right? My responsibility is to tell you the truth. And if the Spirit of God arrests your soul while that's being done, then you better pay attention. Because at the very instant he opens up your acknowledging soul, the conscience in your own heart, when he opens that up and you see yourself lost, you better run to God. You better go right then. You better not wait till tonight. You better not wait till tomorrow. You better get to God as quick as you can, because at that moment has salvation come to your house. And I can't save you. I can't save you. You hear me? The church can't save you. You're going to go to hell if you think anybody can save you but Jesus. I can't save you. You may call me up on your deathbed, eat up with something that won't turn you loose, and you got an hour to live, and say, preacher, come, pray with me, pray. I'll come and pray, but here's what I'll promise you right now. Hear me right now. I can't save you. You won't get saved. You'll die lost and spend eternity in that awful place if you don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit when He calls. When He calls you, that's your chance to be saved. I don't know of another chance. Maybe the only chance you ever get. When He saves you, when He calls you, friend, what a precious gift. What He's saying to you is, come unto me. Come on. I know how you are. I know how you've lived. I know what you've done. I know what you've said. I know everything that you are. But I am offering to you right now eternal life with me if you'll just believe my word. If you'll just believe that I died for you on a cross and shed my blood so your sins could be forgiven. If you'll believe that I rose from the dead that day and lived to make you whole. If you'll believe it and ask me, I'll save you. I'll save you. Or you're going to die lost without God, and you'll blame that on no one. No one. When you stand before God, you'll say amen to your own condemnation into that pit of torment. Come get a song. Whoever you yield your instruments, members to, that's whose servants you are. Quit playing around with it. It's life or death. This life or death we refer to as eternal, both. Because he closed with this simple truth. The wages of sin is eternal death. Right? I shared that in the opening this morning. The Greek word for that word we translate in English as death meant more than just death. Right? We read in the obituaries all the time about people that died. No, this is a far different death he's referring to. The wages of sin is eternal death. Which means it's not the first death. It's the second one. It's the one to which there is no remedy for. It is the death which implies an eternal suffering and torment in hell. The wages of your sin is eternal death. Everlasting punishment in hell. But, thank God for the buts in the Bible, amen. But, the gift of God is what? And that's what he's come to offer. You're sensible people, right? Now I realize a sensible person can still be blind. But you're sensible people. You recognize, at least with your mind, that the offer is a pretty good one. He wants to trade all of my ugliness for all of his wonder. He wants to trade all that's bad in me and replace it with all that's good in him. He wants to impute Right? He wants to give to me righteousness on the inside that will guide me as a light, that will lead me as a compass, that will comfort me as the very peace of the soul. He wants to give me that in trade for my dark, wicked, vile, wretched nature. I don't know about you, but it's an easy choice. If you just look at it on paper, it's an easy choice. But the problem is that you don't get saved just when you're good and ready. You get saved when He comes to you. You get saved when He touches you. You realize that you're lost and you need Him. And I don't know about you, but when He got me, it didn't take long. Didn't take long. I didn't even have to think about it long. One minute I was minding my own business, fine. The next minute, I was scared to death because the Holy Spirit had revealed into my knowing, my knowing, that if I died right then, I was going to go to hell. In that instant, I knew right then what I had to do. I had to call on Him. I had to go to Jesus. And I went to Him. And He saved me. Made me a new creature in Christ. And He wants to do that to you today. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. Ain't you glad that don't matter? There ain't anything you've done or could have done that could keep what Jesus did on the cross from saving your wretched soul. If it could save mine, if it could save his and his, if it could save us, it can save you. Right now, save you. Change you forever. Don't you want that? The question is God dealing with you this morning? If He is, come. Stand as we sing. I'm going to ask you to come. Call on Him. Don't leave Him. Don't walk out of here today unprepared to meet God, because you may meet Him. Just don't meet Him unprepared. You need Him today as we sing.